This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Closing prices for the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, $3.77 and a quarter, up 5 and a half. March, $3.79 and a quarter, up 5 and a half. May, $3.84 and a quarter, up 5. January soybeans, $8.78 and a quarter, up 1 and a half. March, $8.81 and a quarter, up 1 and a half. May, $8.87 and a half, up 1 and 3 quarters. December wheat, $4.84 and a half, up 6 and a half. March, $4.95 and a half, up 5 and 3 quarters. May, $5.01, up 5 and a half. December oats, $2.61 and a half, down 3 quarters. March, $2.37 and a half, down 3 quarters. December soybean meal, $2.74.20, down 4.60. January, $2.73.80, down 3.20. March, $2.75.70, down 2.80. December soybean oil, $31.51, up 65. January, $31.79, up 68. March, $32.03, up 69. It's time now for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices were mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. The higher-than-expected weekly export report helped to improve corn and soybean prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids up 5 cents at 352 to 366. Soybean bids were a penny higher at 843 to 870. In central Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 5 cents at 357 to 380. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 857 to 887. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 3 to 5 cents at 368 to 387. Soybean bids steady to a penny higher at 868 to 884. And the wheat bids were 5 to 6 cents higher, ranging from 395 up to 441. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 cents stronger at 886 to 893. Basis steady, range from 8 to 15 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $267.80 to $283.80 per ton, down $3.20, with basis steady on Thursday, range from 6 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 6 cents at $3.79 to $3.96. Basis steady, range from option to 17 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 6 cents higher at 379 to 382. Basis unchanged, range from option to 3 over the March. Soybeans ended up 2 to 4 cents at 887 to 891, with basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 9 to 13 over the January. And new crop wheat prices were up 4 to 5 cents at 430 to 480. With basis steady to 1 cent lower at 75 to 25 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 5 to 7 higher at 397 to 399. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 1 to 2 cents with quotations at 909 to 910. Soft wheat closed mixed on Thursday at 403 to 471, while the Milo was up 5 at 363 to 364. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealer bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 349 to 366. January soybean bids range from 848 to 869. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 361 to 382. January soybean bids were at 858 to 878. And in the southern part of the state on Thursday, January corn bids ranged from 370 to 390. January soybean bids were at 864 to 884. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids ranged from 454 up to 480. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 58 cents lower in the range of $45.50 to $52.50 with a weighted average carcass price of $51.05. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 to $4 lower with weak demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 7 to 16, 4 to 5 weights 7 to 18, 5 to 6 weights were 9 to 19, and 6 weights and up were 9 to 20. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $26 to $32. Receipts so far for today for Illinois hogs, 10,228 head. And now for the recap from the Greenville Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 805 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 114.50 to 120.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 108 to 112, and choice slaughter heifers were 95 to 106. On to the feeder cattle, feeder steers, medium and large ones, 4 weights 145 to 155, 5 weights 139 to 151, 6 weights were 123 to 131. On over to feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 140 to 158, 5 weights were 126 to 157.50, and 6 weights were 120 to 139. They also had some feeder bulls, medium and large ones, 4 weights 141 to 166, 5 weights were 140 to 155, and 6 weights were 100 to 139. Now moving over to Schuyler Sale Barn, they had in Rushville, they had receipts of 945 head. Choice slaughter steers were 108 to 121.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, $100 to 105. And choice slaughter heifers, 115 to 121.50. On to their feeder cattle. Feeder steers, large ones and twos, 4 weights were 150 to 174.50. 5 weights were 148 to 163, and 6 weights were 129 to 151.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 273 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $73.94, and that was $1.28 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $203.08, that was unchanged, with select carcasses at $188.47, that was $1.53 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 112,000, that compared to 110,000 last week and 112,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 438,000. That compared to 437,000 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On Wednesday, the House Agriculture Committee Subcommittee on Biotechnology, Horticulture, and Research held a hearing to discuss USDA's use of the Census of Agriculture authority to acquire farmers' personal financial information. The Census of Agriculture, which is conducted once every 5 years, is an important tool used by economists, state, local, and federal policymakers, financial analysts, and farmers themselves. In January of 2015, the Agriculture Committee received correspondence from farmers and ranchers concerned that the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service improperly used the Census of Agriculture authority to conduct a mandatory survey entitled Tenure, Ownership, and Transportation of Agricultural Land, or TOTAL. The TOTAL survey inquired about all aspects of an operator's personal financial portfolio, as well as aspects of farm-related income and expenses. The TOTAL survey is a combination of what was previously the Agricultural Economics and Land Ownership Survey and the Agricultural Resource Management Survey. Members of the committee primarily expressed concerns regarding the compulsory or mandatory aspect of the expanded TOTAL survey. In a statement from Representative Rodney Davis, who serves as chairman of the subcommittee, he stated that the most recent version of the total survey is extremely time-consuming, burdensome, and overbroad in nature. And he's concerned about the potentially negative effects this mandatory survey will have on farmers' willingness to participate in the Census of Agriculture. Chairman of the Agriculture Committee, Michael Conaway, said that he hopes the hearing shed light on the importance of quickly resolving the matter. The ethanol industry is proposing to the Environmental Protection Agency a possible way out of a legal battle over the agency's recent reduction in renewable fuels targets. The Renewable Fuels Association and the automotive industry are both asking the EPA to slightly lower the volatility required for conventional summertime gasoline. It's a move that would skirt EPA's reluctance to extend the current E15 volatility waiver to E15 and higher ethanol blends. Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association says it might also be a way to skirt a potential lawsuit over the EPA's recent cut to RFS targets for congenital and cellulosic ethanol.
I think there is a likelihood that this is a solution that they see benefit in and, you know, would help us both, I think, move forward. They're certainly more open to this idea than the concept of extending the waiver to E15. They've told us repeatedly for the last 5 years they don't have the authority or really the interest in doing that.
Cooper argues that lowering conventional gases' volatility and therefore that of higher ethanol blends overcomes retailers' objections to selling those blends. Cooper explains what retailers are saying.
We don't want to offer a fuel that we can only sell for 8 or 9 months of the year. And they don't want to dedicate tank storage space and dispensers to a seasonal fuel. So, you know, correcting this, and that's all because of this volatility issue, and correcting this volatility regulation issue would allow that fuel to be sold year-round, and we think would really open the door to broader use of E15, which would have the effect of helping us meet the RFS.
Cooper expects the oil industry to complain that a volatility change will raise gas prices, but counters that a recent RFA study says cost is less than a penny per gallon, which could be offset by allowing blending of more ethanol, which is cheaper than gasoline, at wholesale. Merger talks are advancing between Dow Chemical and DuPont Company. The Wall Street Journal reports that each have a market capitalization of about $60 billion and could announce a merger in coming days. The merger would be followed by a three-way breakup of the combined company. Dow's chief executive, Andrew Laveris, is expected to be executive chairman of the new company, with DuPont CEO Edward Breen keeping that title. The deal would face antitrust regulators' approval. If it went through, the deal would combine two top suppliers of industrial and agricultural chemicals and crop seeds. Last month, the Wall Street Journal reported that DuPont was discussing a potential combination of its agriculture division with seed giant Syngenta Ag and separately exploring a potential agriculture deal with Dow. Monsanto earlier this year abandoned a $46 billion bid for Syngenta amid resistance from the Swiss company. Last but not least, the Greenville Livestock Auction has a multiple breed breeding stock sale taking place tomorrow. Greenville Livestock Auction manager Steve Carruthers has details about what's going to be available.
Yeah, this is Steve Carruthers with Greenville Livestock Auction. We will have our annual breeding stock sale this Saturday, December the 12th. This Saturday, December 12th at 10 a.m. We've got a lot of good consignments, expecting 500 to 600 bred cows and bred heifers. Got an excellent run of heifers. TSC Farms has got 80 heifers. Harnisher Farms have 36 heifers. LD Farms has got 18 heifers. We've got 35 good, a lot of commercial heifers, a lot of bred cows. Got several dispersals, so come out and join us.
Once again, that sale is at the Greenville Livestock Auction tomorrow, Saturday, December 12th, starting at 10 a.m. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.